Lord God, thank you for your word. Please write it in our hearts that it may be lived in our lives. For your name's sake, amen. Please sit down. We've reached Mark chapter 7 in our series through these middle chapters of Mark's Gospel. Just one more month of Mark's Gospel to go, this month of June. And I haven't quite finished the Bible study for this, so home group leaders, it should be out in the next day or two if you're right up to the mark with your home groups. And we reached this beginning of chapter 7 with more of the big noises in Jerusalem starting to hear about Jesus. And so the Jewish leaders join the crowds, and their reaction is to begin to find fault with Jesus. Can you see in chapter 7, verse 1? Do turn to it if you'd like to. It helps understand the sermon and where it's going, and also store things away for the home groups. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus, they noticed that some of the disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. Just to get us into this, it seems that first century Judaism was a bit like a certain type of posh golf club. Not only did they have the laws of golf, the important laws that stop you hitting off when the people in front are still in range and things like that, they also had lots of extra rules, like what you're allowed to wear and what you weren't allowed to wear on the course and afterwards in the clubhouse, and the fact that you're not allowed to change your shoes in the car park and so on. And there are people in golf clubs for whom these are the things, these extra things, these are the things about which they get really exercised and want to point out to other people, particularly newcomers. Well, it seems the first century Jewish leaders were full of extra rules, and these were called at the time the tradition of the elders. And these were extras, not the word of the Bible, but extra rules that should be kept by all, apparently, like ritual washing before meals, they said. Ritual washing before eating, or else we'll call you defiled, unclean, not a proper Jewish person. And it seems for some, if not more, of the leaders, these were the things that got them really exercised. Can you see in verse 6, Jesus addresses this. In verse 5, the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus was very strong in his reply. He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" So Jesus called it hypocrisy, didn't he? And he quotes Isaiah, and the message is like this: "These people say the prayers and sing the hymns, but their hearts are far from being right with God. And so their worship is vanity. But they carry on teaching extra additional rules as though they were the rules that mattered." And after quoting from Isaiah, Jesus makes his specific accusation in verse 8. "You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." I went to church as a young child and remember being told countless times on the way in to take my hat off when I come into church. But I can't remember those welcomers telling me anything about Jesus. Taking my hat off was the thing they were most exercised about. I've spoken to many people of a slightly older generation who were told to prove they were Christians by not dancing, not drinking alcohol, and not going to the cinema. And these extra rules, in too many church situations, assumed more importance than they should have done. There was a point to them, but the extras were in danger of taking over from the things that really mattered, most of all. And so they became the test of faith. And that's what Jesus is saying is wrong. Just because I take my hat off when I come into a church building doesn't make me a good Christian. That's not the thing that really matters in the end. But if that's what I'm told all the time, then I might try to kid myself that it is what matters, and that's hypocrisy. The 1950s Christian teenager might have thought, I don't drink, dance, or smoke, so I must be right with God. But no, no. These things are the road to hypocrisy, says Jesus. We keep the little extra rules religiously because, really, as it goes, they're quite easy. And at the same time, we are in danger of ignoring the holy call of God on our life, because that call is much harder. The really big issue to do with a holy life. Anyway, Jesus continues on this theme and gives them an example in first century Palestine, as I've sought to give small examples in 20th century Britain. In verse 9, then he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father and mother must surely die. So that's the Bible's teaching. Honor your father and mother. That's the teaching which should matter most. As far as Jesus is concerned, it's in the written word of God. But they had a cunning plan to sidestep this law of God. Korban was the name of this cunning plan. And it seems to have been a system where you could give a generous offering to God instead of honoring your father and mother. And it was dressed up to sound very religious. But Jesus says it's hypocrisy, and he hated it. Can you see in verse 11? But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, whatever support you might have had from me is korban, that is an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for a father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on. And you do many things like this. What makes us right with God? Is it keeping some extra rules? No. It's being reliant on Jesus' saving death and following his teaching of the Bible, not just the bits we like, but all of the basics in the text, not the added extras of our day. And what's easier, the extras or the Bible? But it's not about what's easier, it's about what matters from the mouth of Jesus. And what causes us to be wrong with God? It's not about breaking the extra rules. It's much more about those things on the inside, says Jesus. Not so much those things on the outside, washing, eating, drinking, not taking off of a hat. It's our heart, our inner attitudes, which really matter. And that's what Jesus turns to now. Verse 14, then he called the crowd again and said to them, listen to me, all of you. All of you. This matters for everyone. And understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defile. When he'd left that house, crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. Now, this was a difficult issue for everyone. It's very easy for so many of us to think that sin is about what affects us from outside. And in our society, people say, oh, he does wrong, it's because of his upbringing, or because of where he lives, or the company she keeps. But it's not what is from the outside, in the end, which defiles us, Jesus is saying. It's not what comes from outside, it's what comes from within us which matters, says Jesus. And so many of us don't get this, and the disciples didn't get it either. Verse 17, when he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach and goes out into the sewer? Thus he declared all foods clean. Now, some religions have foods or drinks which you mustn't have according to the religion because they say it makes you defiled. But Jesus says no. It's not foods which are sinful. They just go in one end and out of the other, he says. It's what comes out of your heart that matters. I always think of this when people say certain foods are sinful. It's not just religious people say that. It's people that used to go to Weight Watchers and things like that. And in recent decades, our society has got all moralistic about smoking. Now, smoking is very unhealthy, but it's not a sin against God. Sins come from within, not stuff coming from without, says Jesus. And being righteous isn't about keeping some extra rules that we can manage to keep. It's about our hearts and the attitudes at the core of our being, which then work themselves out in our behavior and our lives. And this is where our reading finishes, as Jesus gives a list of these things. Verse 20. And he said, it's what comes out of a person that defiles. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. These are the attitudes which are in our heart, and if they fester and go unchecked by our God-given conscience, come out in our actions, which are sinful, and our talk, which is sinful. First in the list are sinful sexual thoughts and attitudes, which, if unchecked by conscience, can result in sexual activity, like fornication, the word, sex before marriage, or adultery later in the list, sex outside marriage, or lewdness, referring to sex in a way which cheapens its special nature or ignores the boundaries of healthy, wholesome, godly sexual talk and activity. And also in the list, sinful thoughts of envy, which can turn into actions of theft or slander. Sinful thoughts of murder can turn into actions of violence and murder, if unchecked. It's interesting that papers have dwelt on the activity that Mark Bridger from McCunthlith had been doing in the days and weeks and months before his murder of the little girl, April. And instead of controlling and banishing his sinful thoughts, he fed them with violent images from the internet, which then helped the sin fester and grow and turn into action. Sin comes from within. Out of people's hearts come sinful attitudes, which, if unchecked, work out in sinful actions. And it's not the added extras which ought to exercise us. It's the core issues of holiness, says Jesus, like the issues on this list that he gave. Things which also include pride, the unwillingness to consider others better than ourselves, and so humble ourselves as Jesus did himself. And the list includes folly, the avoidance of wisdom, and the reluctance to recognize the God-given wisdom of the ages. The Bishop of Chester was on the radio this morning. He supported the letter from many active faith leaders to encourage the House of Lords to reject the legislation on same-sex marriage coming up for second reading this week. And partly because it's undemocratic, but mostly because it's folly, they say. A rejection of the God-given wisdom of the ages. This core list of attitudes of the heart, which defile us, should cause us to search our hearts, to repent of the wrong, and to get on with what is good and right and wholesome for everybody. Not so much the added extras of the day, but rather the central things which matter forever, with the holiness of the heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Please help us to take it to heart. Amen.